Hallelujah. Amen. We dwell in a critical time, and God is beginning to make a lot of administrative arrangements in the spirit to equip us for the uniqueness of this age. We, as the body of Christ, constitute the foot soldiers, the facility that His Spirit will possess in order for us to carry out His plan, His purposes, and His intentions. And as women in this golden age, God has a strategic plan for every one of us. And we are here to receive weapons this night. Ah, it's a night of weapons. Glory. Glory to God. Please make welcome your neighbor to the house of God. You are welcome. You are welcome. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. In Jesus' name. You may have your seat. God bless you so much. God bless you so much. God bless you so much. We have a lot of women from different ministries in our midst, leaders of women fellowships that are here present. I acknowledge your presence in the name of Jesus. We still have a few people in transit that are coming from different places, and we trust God that as we receive all of them with journey mercies in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's look at a scripture quickly as we set the coordinates for our spiritual journey. God is present to do us good tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. First of all, we need to see the way that God has created us. He created us with an intention in mind. He created us with some deliberate flaws. Yes. Created us with flaws in mind. And He has His own way of administering help to those flaws. I guess we'll begin this journey by looking at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You must receive a weapon this night. Maybe you don't believe in the power of God. You may change your mind at the end of this weekend. That some things, there is no solution to it. The only solution is the power of God. In the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 26, the Bible says, the Spirit Himself does what? Help at our infirmities. I want to stop there for now. The Spirit Himself helped our infirmities. Now, so by creation, by design, by default, God designed us in our natural encasement, our natural capacity, heavily laden with infirmities. And the reason for that deliberate design was so that if we stumble on wisdom, we'll realize that we need reinforcement, we need support. We'll come to a point where we don't have confidence in ourselves, and it will become a situation that will make us deliberately look to God for support. Hallelujah. We are insufficient. We are incapable. We are not sufficient. And God ordained it to be that way. If you ever find anyone that seems to be sufficient in himself, it is because such a one has not yet understood the depths of life. And meanwhile, situations and circumstances that are orchestrated from the realm of the Spirit will bring you to that point where you realize your insufficiency. If you have never been brought to the end of yourself, if you have never experienced that, you are always capable. Anytime there's a challenge, you are always capable. Every situation, you are always able to go around it, you know how to skim through it, you know what to do and the manipulations you need to put in place to have your way. If you have done that until now and you have always succeeded and you have not had any occasion whatsoever for you to contemplate the fact that you are insufficient, it's because you are on a journey. You are on a journey that will lead you into great pain, because this matter that I raised from the scripture is already judged. That's how the design is. We were created with infirmities. We were created with weaknesses. But that's not the end of the story. That is a deliberate decision by God in our design that is intended to bring us to a point where we realize that our sufficiency is not in us, but in God. Hallelujah. Now. There are many ways that you attend to that insufficiency. A lot of people develop capacities of manipulation. So they manipulate other people in order to make up for their insufficiencies. They make people to do things for them using the tools of intimidation, of manipulation, of dominion, of oppression, just as a result of the fact that you have discovered that insufficiency problem, and this is their own way of trying to make up for it. There are many, many options on how to go about it. But the God that created us also designed a way by which he will make up for that insufficiency in his economy of grace and redemption. Hallelujah. He said it is the Spirit's duty. It's the Spirit's work to help. What? Now, so if you are going to be a warrior, if you are going to be strong in the Lord, your first discovery will have to be the discovery of that personality called the Holy Spirit that is given unto us by the which God intends that our infirmities will be taken care of. As long as you are in this body of flesh, you are going to discover that life itself, by default, by design, is an affliction. When Jacob came into the city of Egypt, and Pharaoh was asking Jacob about the story of his adventure from place to place, Jacob said, "My days have been few but full of sorrow." Now, that is to say that it's an affliction to be a mortal. I hope you realize that mortality was not God's intention. Mortality is a curse that resulted from rebellion. Now, not with me. Please stay with me. Are you still with me? Yes, mortality. Mortality is a curse that resulted from our rebellion. Rebellion that was captured within the context of our first father, Abraham. Adam. Adam's rebellion is what gave birth to mortality. And mortality is a curse. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God helped our what? Now, you see, you can see flash that scripture on the screen. Let me open up a few things. The first infirmity that was mentioned in this scripture is an infirmity that results from a lack of knowledge. Can you see that? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. You are naturally incapacitated to do accurate spiritual business. Are you with me? You are incapacitated. Just in case you know the prayer point to pray about, and maybe the prayer point is that you want to pray about your daughter, and you know that that's the emphasis. The Bible reveals that you don't even know how much you should pray, how much of prayer you should present. Even if you know how much of prayer to present, you don't have the ability to so present. And just in case you have the ability to so present, you don't have the utterance to make that kind of impact in the realm of the Spirit that won't do that which was occasioned against the person you want to pray for. There is this incapacity that is the description of our default mode by reason of design and creation that God has decided to meet by giving us His Spirit. There is no life that can actually make any form of impact in the realm of the Spirit that is not aided by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I know you schooled in Harvard. You schooled at Oxford. That's where you got your degree. And you are better than most. But when spiritual things are concerned, your learning in the natural is not an advantage at all. In fact, it can become a disadvantage. The reason why it is possibly going to amount to a disadvantage is because you have the likelihood to trust in your learning, to trust in a chariot, to trust in a horse, to trust in something natural, when what is coming against you is beyond your learning, is beyond your experience. How old have you lived? Satan has lived older than your ancestors. And is coming with a catalog of experience to deploy secrets that you have gathered over the years on the account of practice. You know, some practice is superior to learning. If you are in the classroom as a barrister, you can be making A's. By the time you come to court and you see the proceedings in litigation, the protocol, the expertise, you will need time. Satan is coming from a backlog of experience. And he knows that in experience, you are a novice. Yes, you are a novice. And so the only way, yes, you are a novice. And if by any means you feel capable because of something physical, maybe you went to Covenant University, that's where you are coming from. The fact that you have trust, confidence in something that is not spirit, has already set you up for a mighty blow that you will not recover from in a very long time. The Bible says the spirit himself helpeth our infirmities. That's his business. That's what he does. It takes us beyond the reach of weakness, of limitation. It takes us beyond the reach of mortality and gives us a capacity that has representation in the spirit realm that is equivalent to the opposition that Satan is mounting in your direction. One of the things God does, in fact, that's the first thing he does, is that he gives us access to insight, to knowledge. But I'm coming. I still have a few scriptures to read to us. So in view of the infirmities that abound, according to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, basic scriptures, before we talk about warfare, we need to pick basic tools first. Basic tools. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, in keeping with the fact that we have infirmities, what God did was not, he didn't build an armored tank to be guarding your life. That's not what he did, because the scope of our warfare, the plane of our warfare is supernatural. The objects of our warfare are principalities and powers. And most of you don't know the symptoms that find expression around your life when a spirit is on your case. Because most of us see life from the carnal perspective. We are seeing life from humanity, from people, places, time, and events. That's a carnal way of viewing life. Life is not in that context. The things that power those events, the things that affect those places, are far beyond elementals. Now, so in order for God to prepare us for the challenges within the context of which we'll be functioning, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, he made provision for power for us. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's the provision he made. He made provision for what? Now, you must have heard me say that in Greek language is a very bogus language, and many times you need to go back to the Greek text in order to get the full import of that which is being emphasized. And we have said many times, time without number, that in the Greek language, there are four words for power. So we need to know which one exactly is used in this context so that the specific meaning that is intended can be drawn. The word here is dunamis. You shall receive dunamis. Now, there's something about dunamis. All right? We have iskos. We have kratos. Kratos is power. Iskos is the power that goes beyond. Iskos is a comparative word for power. So if we're talking about witchcraft power as a measure of power, we're talking about the power of sorcery, the power of wizardry. If we have some references here and there, Iskus talks about a power that goes beyond power. And so it's comparative. There must be a power in view before you bring Iskus. Iskus goes beyond that your own power. Are you with me? Good. The word Iskus was used with the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible said that she has consulted physicians, consulted a lot of people, therapists, consulted wizards, consulted all kinds of stuff in order to help her condition. But her condition grew worse. And when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, Iskus came out. You see, the word Iskus was used because other forms of power were already consulted. So this power now that was released by the touch of Jesus' garment was superior to every other power she has contacted before. Now, so Iskus is comparative. But dunamis is inherent. And now follow me. Stay with me. Dunamis is inherent power. That power is installed in your spirit like a software. If you have a software on your computer and you want to use the software, you just click on it. Is that not so? And it begins to boot. And then the software now, having booted, it is displayed for full use. That's how dunamis is. Dunamis is installed power. Now, because it is inherent, it is not God that determines when it is used. Oh, you are not with me. But I'll keep talking. All right? I'll keep talking. It's not God. That's the only gift that you have from God, that God does not determine when it is used. It's inherent. That's what dunamis means. It's installed capacity. So you decide when you put it to work. And just in case you are not putting it to work, and what is supposed to be the result of your putting it to work does not happen, it is no longer God's fault. It is your fault. And just in case you are here and you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you don't have the full scope of the blessing that God gave you in order to ensure that you have the capacity to engage the things to come. Dunamis is inherent ability. It's not up to God to decide when to use it. It's up to you to decide when to use it. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, are you still with me? Yeah, you believe that 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is in the Bible, is the word of God. All right. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul was speaking about the use of dunamis. And Paul said, I will pray in my understanding. That's Paul. Will. The word. The emphasis there is what? Will. I will pray in my understanding. Paul again now says, I will pray in the spirit. He's not waiting for God to stir him to pray in the spirit. He can decide when to pray in the spirit. Why? Because the power that he received is installed capacity. He decides when he switches that power on. Are you with me? And just in case you are here, and normally before you pray, you wait for a stirring. You will wait for a long time. When that accident my wife was talking about took place, I was praying in the morning, and a song locked out of heaven. The song was, I have a very big God who is always by my side. A very big God by my side. Then she called me, I answered. She said, accident took place, some people are in the hospital. The song was singing inside. I have a very big God. I tried to force myself to pray, God deliver people. The song that was playing was what? I have a very big God who is always by my side. You know what happened to me? I went beyond the accident before it happened. So I was more advanced than accident scenario. So accident was already handled, and God gave me that song as a sign that he was there. So there was no need for me to go back to say, oh yeah, come alive. No, that one was handled in the procession. A lot of things happen when spirit power moves and you are part of that entourage that is moving. A lot of things are mopped up on the way. But if you are, if you don't engage him, it's not because he's not powerful. He's not powerful in your own life. But he may be powerful in someone else's life. And you know something about Jesus? Jesus can stay in your boat. In your boat. And he's sleeping. Have you heard that Jesus slept in a boat? In your boat.
you have to check with a stethoscope whether Jesus is asleep. Because Jesus can sleep in the midst of a storm. Mighty storm, is rest at the side. I was bubbling that song. I sang that song till 12 noon. After 12 noon, and I called the people that were in the assembly. How are you? Are you okay? Are you? Amen. The battle was already won. You couldn't make me feel sad that time. Something else, a power, had helped my infirmities. The normal things I would have done as a normal human being, I wasn't capable of doing it again, because there was something that was activated. It was activated. It was at work, and it took care of my response as a mortal. The response I had was based on the emotion of the spirit that empowered me. That spirit was at rest, and so I tapped from the rest that he brought. If you want to labor in this flesh, your wilderness journey is long, because every wind that blows, you run there, you check. You say, okay, oh, somebody's down. Then you hear one from the village. Then they draw you to the hospital and test your blood pressure. It's up. Then you come down and say, God. You see, life is an affliction. Living from that plane is an affliction. So he brought a spirit. He said, when you receive this spirit, you will have inherent power. It's up to you what you do about what you have received. So you need to exercise yourself in the spirit by praying in tongues regularly. You exercise yourself so that inner capacity is built. That inner capacity is built. The potential that God is expecting you to step into, you begin to see that possibility. Meanwhile, another meaning of dunamis is potential energy. Potential energy. Now, it means you have a potential. You have a certain form of capacity, but that capacity is not realized at that level. It is when you begin to exercise yourself in speaking in tongues that the potential energy is transmitted. It becomes kratos, which is kinetic energy. It is in that kinetic mode that power gains acceleration. It gains momentum. It can cause changes. But if it is in its potential form, it's just a potential. You need to do something to that potential before it becomes profitable. And whether or not you engage that potential energy, it's not in God's hands. It's in your hands. I need to say that. It's in your hands. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Say, it's not in God's hands. Is in your hands. Women are the most oppressed people in the world, and the reason why the oppression keeps going on is because the average woman does not understand that there's inherent power available, and most women do not labor in maximizing this inherent power. There are a lot of possibilities that are bound toward you if you know how to take advantage of that power that is inherent. So in order to help our infirmities, what God has put in place as installed capacity is power that comes upon us when we receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so when you begin to speak in tongues, it takes about 45 minutes, 1 hour in tongues for you to experience the next blessing. You see, the Holy Spirit is a compendium of every blessing that God intended to give us. I would, every blessing. Alright? Now, but you have to initiate, set the generator running. It's the word dunamis that is the relative of the English word called dynamo. I hope you know, primitive English evolved from Greek language. Modern English is evolving from French. Alright? So, dunamis is the Greek word that is the relative of the word for dynamo. Dynamo. Dynamo is that part of your generator that you need to put rope, and then, can you see? In order for you to activate dunamis, you need external help, mechanical help. That's what speaking in tongues is. When you get the oscillations running, and the oscillation is maximum oscillation, the system will begin to run itself without any need for external help. But in order to set it running, you have to provide what? External help. That's how dynamics runs. It's potential energy. Requires a lot of oscillation to achieve maximum oscillation before it is activated. When it is activated, a lot of things happen thereafter. It can give power. There's a power surge. Hallelujah. Now, but you need to keep it running. And the devil will ensure that because he could not stop you from accepting Jesus Christ, the next thing the devil wants to stop you from doing is he will stop you from knowing the Holy Spirit. So that even though you are in Jesus Christ, you are going to walk in defeat. All your days will be spent cursing God. That God is incapable. God does not have the ability to meet your needs. You may not say it physically. You may not say it through utterance. But it's right there in your mind. And God doesn't need to hear your words before he knows your disposition. And it's not God's fault that you are where you are. By default, life in the flesh, because of infirmities, is an affliction. And in order for God to attend to that infirmity, he made his spirit available. Okay? So when you begin to engage that spirit, you provide external help to turn the dynamo, and then the dynamo gains oscillation. And then at that point, the system is switched on. And there's consistent conversion from potential energy to kinetic energy. Potential energy to content, and then you begin to see it begins to generate something. Now, I want to show you what you can generate from your spirit. I want to show you from the scriptures the things that you can generate. You are not here. Maya told me na sila. And then we'll do practicals as God will help us. 15 minutes for practical. We'll do teaching for maybe the next 20 minutes, then we'll do practical. Because the kingdom of God is not in word, it's not for talk. No. If it's all about talk, politicians will win the day. But in the kingdom here, God has a tool beyond human language to actually furnish the reality, the authenticity of the kingdom. And what it does is that he advertises his kingdom by power. Jesus said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, is an indication of the fact that the kingdom of God is among men. So the kingdom of God is known when the power of that kingdom is on display. The devil will fight so hard for there not to be an occasion where the power of God comes into manifestation and he reveals that Satan and his power and his kingdom is inferior to the kingdom of God. He doesn't want that. He will fight to ensure that that scenario, that atmosphere that reveals the supremacy of the kingdom of God over the kingdom of darkness is never on public display for everybody to see how that the kingdom of darkness is inferior. Now, so when you put on the generator, a lot of things can come out of your human spirit. A lot of things. But you see, you have to take the decision. And the decision is that I will be responsible for engaging dynamis. Hallelujah. If we don't come to that point at the end of this conference, we wasted our time. I will be responsible. Somebody may say, okay, now church, they don't allow us to speak in tongues. How many hours are you in church? Your church service cannot be longer than 3 hours. So take 3 hours out of the 24 hours in the day. At home, do they come with koboko to your house to monitor to see what you are doing with your mouth? Oh my. So don't blame your church. If you are a carnal Christian, you are carnal for yourself. No, leave the church out of the matter. Leave the church, leave the pastor out of the matter. We are talking about you now. Because the pastor doesn't know the cost that is in your family. And you may even be incapacitated about the situation of your family. Because you might be the one that God has raised to address that matter. So the pastor's anointing won't work if you were raised for that matter. And if you decide to switch off, it means the cause remains. It remains. Now, so we'll have to make up our minds to switch off, switch on the provision that God has made available. So when you switch it on, this is the first thing that happens. The first blessing you experience is in the book of John chapter 6 verse 33. These are basics. These are basics. Alright? What I'm teaching tonight are mere basics. When we get the basics, then we go into the dynamics. How weapons can come from the spirit realm. How you fight. How you know that danger is coming. Hallelujah. Okay, so the next thing that happens when you make up your mind that I'm going to take advantage of the provision that God has made available in the power of the Holy Spirit that is domiciled in my spirit, and I'm going to consciously start making a practice of speaking in tongues. How many of you know Lagos? You know Lagos? You know Mile 2? You know Orile? Okay, one day I trekked from Mile 2 to Orile, not because I didn't have money for the bus. I just wanted to exercise my spirit. So I just began to trek. You know Mile 2? Oh, Dan, you know? I was there in Mile 2 with my knapsack, and I was speaking in tongues till I got to Orile. I didn't know when I arrived Orile. I was moving in the spirit and speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. Okay, if you see me on the street and you don't like how I look, I don't pay tax for it. I just go on like that. Go on like that. Go on like that. Then the first blessing that you get, all right, when the dynamo gains maximum acceleration, so the dunamis is being converted to kratos. The potential energy is being converted to kinetic energy. There's something that happens in the interface. The thing that happens was described in the book of John chapter 3 verse 33. And these are basic things. What is there? 33, not 37. John 6, 33. Flash it on the screen, let's see. Oh, are you with me? Okay. Let me check my own Bible. Because you are giving me so many scriptures here. John chapter 6, verse 63. Is that what I said you should open? Sorry. I'm high in spirit. I'm high in spirit. So it's difficult for me to articulate. John chapter 6, verse 63. The Bible says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. You see, first of all, he gives us the spirit as a blessing to make up for our infirmities. And as we begin to exercise that spirit, then we experience first and foremost what it means to be quickened by the spirit. When the Bible says it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. You are not a spiritual man if you have not come to that conclusion that the flesh profits nothing. Because if you don't know that the flesh profits nothing, as a matter of principle, you will seek profit from the flesh. You will seek defense from the flesh. You will think because you can come and quarrel, that you can get anything done. You don't know that if a spiritual person is the one causing you to quarrel like that, and he sees that all you have is a mouthpiece. That's all you have. Just to talk. Say good day. That spiritual person will go into the witchcraft coven. Will settle your case there. And they will release an arrow. You go and talk. They will release another one. You go and talk. And the day they want to destroy you, they will release one. And they'll be expecting you to come and talk. And if you talk that day, your life will not remain the same. So if all you know how, if you have not yet come to that point where you know that there is no profit in the flesh, you will not be willing to explore what I'm teaching. Meanwhile, there are basic things. So when you become quickened, he said, there is a spirit that has this designation. There is a spirit that has this function. It is only him. It is him. All needs for being quickened have been relegated to his office. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I'm speaking unto you, they are spirit. It means those words came because I am quickened. I'm hearing new things. I can speak with divine potency. A man that is quickened is a man that has been switched on, not from the flesh, but switched on from the spirit. His perception is heightened, his utterance is powerful. He has become a weapon. In that state, you can't go down. In that state, you can't go down. You know, before my wife called me about the accident, I was already quickened. If you meet with warfare when you're already quickened, that's a good place to meet with challenges. The Spirit of God has already bridled your emotion. He has already taken you to a pedestal where your perception is from another realm entirely. The way you will judge a matter when you are quickened is different from the way you will judge it when you are not. So one of the first blessings you enjoy because you are a custodian of the Spirit of God is that the Spirit of God will quicken you when you engage Him. When you engage Him, you may not know that many of the attacks that you receive, what the devil wants to achieve is that he wants to operate your mind. He's a spirit being, the devil. He can send suggestions, send demons. They'll whisper into your ears. You will hear it. It will come as if it's a thought that you are thinking. But it's the one that is using your mind and forcing your mind to think his thoughts. And you never come under pressure to think those thoughts until you are in the midst of a challenge. So he uses the window of pressures of life, of anxieties, of cares of this world. He uses that window anytime you are under pressure. For instance, if you are a young lady here and you are trusting God to get married, and the time you put on your clock that marriage should come had passed, then Satan comes around. He begins to try to sell an opinion to you. And the opinion he's trying to sell to you is so that he can discredit the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. And meanwhile, God will not come to speak anything contrary, to counter what Satan is saying. God leaves you. He leaves you in that state. So it's easier for you to now believe the devil. It is when you become quickened that you can receive the perspective of God. So I don't take any decision until I'm quickened. If I don't have money, I fast. And I go high in spirit. And I don't feel the impact that there's no money. I don't think like a poor man. Like a hopeless man. Like a helpless man. Yes. One of the blessings you will see that you have access to when you are quickened is wisdom. But I don't want to press on that. We're still trying to capture what it means to be quickened. When you are quickened, you are switched on. Your spiritual senses are activated. Hallelujah. They are activated. You have access to the use of your spiritual senses. The Holy Spirit begins to operate your spiritual senses. And it gives you a level of perception that you cannot have any other way. Perception of God's will, God's mind, what God is saying about the matter. All those things are available to you when you are quickened. But before you are quickened, it's not available. And you are the one that is responsible to engage in turning the dynamo until you reach that maximum oscillation where you become quickened. God now takes over the responsibility of making the dynamo work. So your perceptions are switched on. I always use this example. You know, when you were in your mother's womb, you had eyes, you had nose, you had your nose there, you had your mouth there. But the reason for the mouth was not the womb. That was not the environment where you needed the mouth. That was not the environment where you needed the eye. It was when you were now born that the eye became useful. It was when you were born that the ears became useful. You also have spiritual senses. It's when you become born again that those senses become useful. If you are not yet born again, you're in the womb. When you are now born again, because the Bible says Jesus was the one that spoke, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Perception comes to you on the account of the fact that the Spirit is now included in your economy, in the administration of your daily life. There is Spirit power that has been added. Are you with me? Oh my.
Oh my, you are not with me today.
These are basics. I have not gone into the matter, the real matter. These are basics. It's a refresher. Basics. So if somebody is into ministry the way I am, and you cannot pray in tongues for 2 hours every day, don't bother. You are wasting people's time. If you cannot pray at least out of the 24 hours, you dedicate 2 hours to pray in tongues as a pastor. Hey, the congregation is not covered. It's not covered. And we should not joke about that. And if you're a believer and you cannot pray in tongues for 1 hour a day, which is the minimum for a believer, because Jesus came to his apostles and he demanded, is it that you cannot watch for 1 hour? So if you cannot pray in tongues for 1 hour, I think your challenge, you accepted it. What is happening to you that you call a challenge? You actually agreed at some point with the devil that these kind of challenges normally come. We accept it. It's part of human life, part of human problem. Yeah, okay, we'll just manage it. God will help us. God will help. God will help. God. And normally people don't give up like that until a deceiving spirit begins to whisper to them. And then they now accepted the perspective of a deceiving spirit. And say, yeah. Okay, can happen. Yes. I know people that deceiving spirits came to like that, talk them into believing that they can die too. They can die now, you know. Die, we'll go to heaven. Yeah. All right. I met people like that. And I had to bring the scriptures to begin to contradict those, their mindsets. But the reason why they could not hear God's perspective was because they were not quickened. All of their civilization was hedged in the flesh, in carnality, in infirmity. But in the flesh, you attain to your least potential. It's in the spirit that you attain to your greatest potential. And every one of us must know how to take advantage of spirit power. That's what God made available for your life. And just in case you are not subscribing to it, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. You don't desire spiritual things, you don't know, you don't press into God, and then you are complaining that you have challenges. It's a contradiction. So let's not blame God, okay? Let's leave God out of the matter. He is very good, he's very kind. And according to the scriptures, his thoughts concerning us are thoughts of good and not of evil. But when you don't do your responsibility, it is a choice. You have aligned with the devil against your own life. That, well, you know, these kind of things happen. But they don't happen. No. It's only you it's happening to. They don't happen. You now surrender to a fate of faithlessness. Faithlessness. You take life as it comes. If this one dies, you go for burial. Say, yeah, that's the right thing to do. Let's bury. Okay. And then you are going for burials all around. And you are not seeing that people are dying in your family much more than they die in others. Herod took James and killed him. The Jews were happy. The church was silent. And then they now took Peter. The church now said no. They began to organize prayers. Why didn't they organize prayers for James? Nobody did anything about James. And the devil had a field day. In fact, there was no repercussion. The people that did it were still taking coffee. And they were emboldened. So much so that he came and was doing oratory in the public square. But that time prayer had gone forth. The angels that came to deliver Peter from prison, they were still in town. And you know, cherubims are very hard. They are jealous for God. If you insult God, it's cherubims that insist that you must be punished. Herod was talking and they just struck him. One angel struck him and worms ate him. It's because the church began to pray, something else began to happen in the city. And then it was clear that Herod was not in control. But the church could not wield that power until a situation provoked them to seek God. They were now willing to take advantage of the deposit inside. And whereas one believer is a very strong man, because it took only one prophet for God to bring an entire nation out of Egypt. You don't know Egypt. Please go and study Egypt. The civilization of that nation was built on interfacing with 12 evil spirits. 12 evil spirits. One mortal man that knew how to take advantage of the abilities of God was the man sent. One man for an entire nation. When Paul wanted to take over the regions of Crete, it was only one Titus that he left there. He said, set things in order. One man. If you know the capacity that is realizable from one human spirit, you will know that the church in our day is sleeping. Meanwhile, as powerful as we can be as an individual believer, the Bible reveals that our power can be multiplied geometrically when two believers decide to unite. Not for their own purposes, but to see that the will of God is achieved. And they want to use their spiritual power to partner with God, to create a pathway for God to begin to intervene. The power that two among us can generate, my God, is we cannot fathom it. And that's why we need to reach out for the weapons. And everybody will become a warrior before we are done on Sunday night. We have had 1,001 sermons. The land never changed. It's not a day for sermons. It's a day to teach men how to take advantage of spirit power so that we can unite. God can make us truly one in the spirit so that we can wage a global warfare against the dominion of darkness. Give me volume on that keyboard. My time for practical is coming nearer. Now, because I will tell you when I'm quickened. I'm not quickened yet. And then when I'm quickened, I can see with my spiritual eyes. So you will now know it's not, we are not joking. It's true. All my senses will open. The sense of sight by the Spirit, according to John chapter 5. The sense of the hearing of faith, according to Acts chapter 9. The sense of knowing, supernatural knowing. And you say, you know that, hi, this one. How do you know? I don't know, but I know. It's a knowing of revelation. The spiritual senses and perception we open. It is with those senses that you will know when danger is coming. You just know. You woke up in the morning and say, no. The devil has gone to work overnight. Those people met in the alcove and they came to a conclusion to do something that will affect me. You know it inside of your spirit. If you stay in your house and danger come, then plan and form weapons, and it comes and it works on your life. You are not spiritually healthy. You didn't know that danger was coming. You were just there in your house, and then the danger came and met you. It met you the way they planned it. You became a victim. You need checkup. The intensive care unit of the grace of God. You need to admit yourself in that hospital for help. Because the way we were designed in Christ Jesus is that before the danger comes, you will pass it. He changes us. He makes us weapons. Weapons that can fight. Weapons that can turn the tide of darkness. Weapons that can challenge the wave that is coming. And you see changes happen. Whereas one of us is very powerful. But if two of us unite, truly unite. Satan doesn't understand that. He can't understand that. If two of us unite. Oh my. That is the nucleus. The nucleus that should rise from every marriage. A marriage is supposed to be a union between two intercessors, two people that will submit their spiritual power in a bond of unity to deploy spiritual forces and to see that the will of God is done in every facet, in every part of their existence. In the flesh, we have infirmities, but in the spirit, we are mighty. Now, can we sing that song so that we can be activated? I want to do small practical.
You be my life, Yahweh. on my down. Spirit of the living God, you've been on my down. Yahweh,
on my life,
you will rock on my life. Spirit of the living
God,
you will rock on my life. Yahweh,
attacks of the enemy. In fact, she's even making some attempts to pray from what I see. Even though she is exceedingly discouraged, she's making some attempt to pray, but she's not even praying enough. And she knows that that prayer she's praying cannot do anything to her circumstance, do anything to her situation. Now, from the diagnosis I'm seeing from the spirit here, you are trying to use your human strength to come against something that is spiritually orchestrated. And that is why you are frustrated about your inabilities. But what God is about to do right now, because I see Him in the Spirit, He is about to impart to you a gift that is revelatory. Now, so that your spiritual eyes can be open, and then you'll be able to see that which you are contending with. And to spiritual help, spiritual language and utterance, God will give you the right words to be able to contend with that which is contending with you. Now, notice we are doing practical. We are doing practical. We have not started praying. Prayer will come soon. When prayer comes, then the wild wind from heaven will descend. But now, I want to ask God, so that if that woman that I speak about is here, God will anoint that woman. You anoint that woman. And the anointing that is coming upon that woman is an anointing that will lead her into a revelatory, my God, it's becoming stronger.
Alamona hi kasila koda balato ne selekumar. Alamona siya brasketo mile kele zahula kazo mahika mahalata. Alamona, 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 sepre eleko salato. Asia kante monde kala barato sila kanda asaman tala bonde seka ika maharato masiato. The anointing coming upon that woman is to lead her into a revelatory corridor where you will have the capacity. Oh my, it's coming stronger, it's coming stronger, it's coming stronger. There is a release from heaven. Ah, let us pray, let us pray, let us pray, let us pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hold it there. I'm going to pray now. Before we start praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you because of the woman that you brought here to equip, to empower, to release a gift over her life so that she will be able to stand in the battle. Now, the name of Jesus is a strong tower. It's a strong tower. It's not so that you will retreat and go and hide in the name. No. It's a strong tower that covers you while you are engaging the things that are contending with you. And right now as I speak, the hand of God will begin to come down. Begin to come down. You will receive an impartation. Father, in the name of Jesus, anywhere that woman is, anywhere that lady is in this auditorium, from my left hand side to my right hand side, from my left hand side to my right hand side, I ask that the anointing be lowered from heaven. Let the anointing be lowered from heaven. Let the anointing be lowered from heaven. Let it come. 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 Holy Ghost. Now help me bring that sister. Help me bring that sister. Bring them for me. Now I'm still trying to teach. We have not started praying. Bring that person for me. Bring them. I'm seeing, oh my God, oh my God, there's somebody else. I feel the anointing is so strong. They're so strong. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Help me find that second person. Help me find the second person. Help me find the second person. It's not coming stronger. It's 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 you are being equipped, empowered, empowered, empowered to stand in the battle of the Lord. You are being equipped. You are being empowered. You are in the midst of a battle. 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 Receive the strength of God. And listen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, O God, that you place your hand. Place your hand. Place your hand. Let there be an empowerment. The women of this region need weapons. Weapons. Now listen. We are still doing practical. We have not started prayer. When we begin to pray, the wild wind from heaven will descend. The wild wind from the heavens. Now receive Mahaloma. It's an empowerment from heaven. It's an empowerment from heaven. The transactions of the spirit are not things that we can do with our physical ability. Make sure you receive an empowerment before you leave. If you are passing through pressure, you are not the first person who has ever walked that way. And there is a deposit of God that can keep you mounting up with wings in spite of the situation. And you are above the situation. You can't be controlled by the situation. The manipulation that is in the situation doesn't affect you. Your confidence is steadfast. Your confidence is steadfast as you stand in the battle. And when the time is up, Satan would have failed. Satan would have lost him. Satan would have lost him. There is an empowerment. There is an empowerment. There is an empowerment. There is an empowerment. Yila halabokamai. Ascendolare de kesatuna. Rakataze no rakapani. Lore salamanda halakuzabata.
Rahaila somekande sokabaka namanda. Elo marasila makayeto isomele kandeli. Aila baba rabasi.
Now listen, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm seeing a horn in the spirit. I'm seeing a horn in the spirit. Maya kole masi. A horn in the spirit. A horn in the spirit. And oh my God. My God. Upon close investigation of this horn, I see that it's the grace of an evangelist. The grace of an evangelist. There is an evangelist in our midst. You have been dormant. You have been switched off. Maybe pressure has kept you in a cooler. God is coming to fetch you with fire. Ah, liko mahasela hora makanda samina kolia elabo kamala. He's coming to fetch you with fire. From what I'm seeing, you have a covenant with God, and that covenant is still active. It's still active. In fact, it's because of that covenant that God has shown me your horn in the spirit. That is the authority he has given to you in the office of the evangelist. He is coming to fetch you with fire. He's coming to fetch you with fire. He's coming to fetch you with fire. He's coming to fetch you with fire. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight that evangelist in our midst that you want to activate, that you want to activate, that you want to activate. Okay, the power of God is already coming. I can feel the power. I can feel the power. It's coming to activate. It's coming to activate. It's coming to activate that evangelist. It's coming to activate. It's coming to activate it. Holy Spirit. Urabo samahanda halapale kozamanta akabaya santa braskabana kovonohele. Oh my God. You will bear witness. You will bear witness. You will bear witness. You will bear witness. Aile kabonos. You'll bear witness. You'll bear witness of the Lord. The hand of God will descend upon you. He will quicken you from within your spirit. You will not think of what to say, or the utterances will be given to you by the Lord. There is a mighty fountain of grace that is in your spirit. A mighty fountain of grace that is in your spirit. I call that fountain. I call that fountain. I call that fountain. A mighty fountain, a mighty fountain, a mighty fountain of the grace of God. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Cover sin and mantle. I call on that fountain. I call on that fountain. I call on that fountain. That the hand of God, that the hand of God will fetch you out. Will fetch you up by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come on, Moses. Come on, Moses. The Spirit of God help at our infirmities. The Spirit of God help at our infirmities. The things that the devil is throwing at you is nothing to be compared with the power of God that is at work on the inside of you. If you can activate that power, if you can set it on fire, if you can set it loose, something else will begin to happen. The grace of God will begin to take over your life. It will propel you beyond the reach of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Listen. Listen. We have not started praying. Listen. Listen. When you are quickened, your spiritual senses are activated. Perception will begin to come. God will begin to give you divinely inspired utterances. Words that are spirit, words that are life. When you release them, they go with divine potency. Every woman should be able to engage this powerhouse. You will be a creature that is always afraid. Afraid of eventualities, afraid of situations. until you realize the power that is within you by the Lord Jesus and begin to activate it. And suddenly the capacity will break out. Suddenly you will notice that the fear that used to haunt you day in, day out, that fear will be broken. Suddenly boldness will begin to come, a boldness you never had before. Some of you can't stay in the dark. You can't stay in the dark. You must look for somebody to... You will fetch your daughter to come and stay. Sleep with you so that you... I banish that fear. I banish that fear in the name of Jesus. I banish it. Now, in the next 10 minutes, we are going to pray as a congregation. And when we do this, the wild wind from the presence of God will descend. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you feel more comfortable sitting down, no problem. Just take any posture that is convenient for you. We want to storm heaven now. We want to engage heaven. We want to engage heaven. We want to engage heaven. In my hand, lo masin. In my hand, barakula masanda. Now, hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, this is just the first night. We can't do so much. But by the time we arrive Sunday night, you will be given weapons. Then I will tell you the story of how I was given a weapon. A weapon to combat. A weapon to contend. You can become very strong that when you... Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. I was in Lagos. My wife called me and said, the children are sick. They're sick. Then in my office, I felt a leading to go home. I took a flight, came to Abuja, came home. When I came home and I saw my son and I called him, Joshua, he became well. You know, that sickness is not mosquito. That one is what? An attack. When this evil spirit saw that, this man don't come. He went. But you need to register your presence in the spirit. Hey! The demoniac said, Paul, I know. He said, Jesus, I know. I said, Joshua! God, the evil spirit left. That spirit was just a distraction to this. You can be taught how to fight. The Bible says that the Lord teacheth my hands to fight. He teacheth my fingers to war. You can decide not to accept the evil things happening. You can decide not to accept it. There is no circumstance that you can orchestrate now that will make me depressed. It's not possible. As long as I can still pray in the spirit, I will mount up with wings. I will mount up. And that's why when you are dealing with a righteous man, when a wicked man is dealing with a righteous man, he is cautioned. Don't think that because you struck him and he's beginning to cry, don't think you have won. If he can still generate that power and generate that power. By the time you meet him in the evening, the infirmities and the weaknesses you saw, you will see them no more. Because something has energized him. A wild wind in the spirit is about to be stirred. Ask him for a weapon. Ask him for a weapon. You need a weapon. You need a weapon. You need a weapon. You need a weapon. These are the days of warfare. You need a weapon. 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 God wants to raise women of power. Women that are not helpless. Women that have an answer. Women that have an answer. You need a weapon. You need a weapon. You need a weapon. You need a weapon. Circumstances are designed, are arranged to work against your purpose, to work against your destiny. You must know the technology of mounting up with wings, going beyond the emotional challenges, taking alignment with the Spirit of God, functioning by the Holy Ghost. That's the only solution that we have in this time of pressure, utter pressure,
utter pressure. The devil wants us to be cast down, but we refuse to be cast down. We take advantage of the Spirit of God. We take advantage of the grace of God. We take advantage of the power of the Lord. Call upon His name. Call upon His name. Call upon His name. There is a calling upon your life. God has spoken a word. He has spoken a word over you. And He is not a man that He should lie. Neither is He the Son of Man that He should repent. Everything He has uttered concerning your life, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. You need a weapon. You need a weapon to forge ahead, to forge ahead, to break free from the bondage, from the pressure, from your oppression. You need a weapon from God. Ola masike morala, elamo morasane na kande bola alabo.
In Jesus' name. Listen, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. I see one of us here. By the mercies of God, this person that I speak about was given a substantial amount of money. Substantial amount of money. Was given a substantial amount of money. And then suddenly, so many things came up, and you cannot account for what you did with that money. The money just went away, and now you are actually in debt. Now, you were given a substantial amount of money that was supposed to help you advance, to establish a financial stream, something that would have helped you, but some circumstances showed up and all of that, and at the end of the day, all of that, now you are in debt. Where are you? Now, I want to break that yoke. You are contending with something that is spiritual. With spiritual. You are in debt. Where are you? Now, can you come on? Briefly. It was substantial. It was supposed to set you up and to put you in a place of financial sustenance. But it was blown. You were actually up against a spiritual situation. Now you are in debt. You are in debt. But God is going to do something tonight. He's going to do a work this night. He's going to do a work this night. Anywhere you are in the congregation, begin to pray for our brethren. Pray for our sisters standing here in the front. Pray for our brother here. Umasale Bokore. Kimamarasato Menekas Kesamina Kato Presta Salabanda. Rosetalebo. Rakazina, Elekosa, Mandele Kuria, Babariza, Somantala Baboria, Sakendo, Pregedani, Masanta, Akabalata, Manse Pregede. Oh my God. Listen to me in the name of Jesus. Now, you people don't know, but you are in the midst of a serious battle, serious warfare. It is this warfare that affected your finances. You will see it when we begin to pray. Serious warfare. But God is here tonight. He wants to. He will do a miracle. That's why He called you.
They will do a miracle. That is confirmed. But we need to.